I'm so excited to be here. Thank you all for coming. As you heard in our announcements from Danica, we have a fun-filled event with a lot of information. So I hope you came ready to be inspired and to learn, because we have some amazing speakers who are going to come up and share just how to manage social media. How many of you in here consider yourselves active users of social media? So quite a few of you. A few that we're going to like get your feet wet, but that will work. Well, whether you consider yourself an enthusiast of social media or a novice of social media, today you are going to walk away with a few steps and to get ready, to get started, just the simple tools to doing that. You'll walk away with techniques of how to take your current platform that you currently have to the next level and reach further and beyond your circumference currently. And then we're going to learn a few of the do's and don'ts on how to protect yourself and those you love while using social media, because you are putting yourselves out there. And we need to know how to protect ourselves when doing so. Before we get into that, and I invite up our social networking gurus, I just wanted to first look and take some time in God's Word and His perspective and where His Word would direct us how to look at social media today. So I'll be looking at 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. And if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and pre-mark your Bibles there as I open us in prayer. Lord, we just come before you, and I just, like always, I just thank you for this appointed time, Lord, that you have given us the opportunity to come together, to fellowship, to be women, and to just act like women, to be able to meet together on the simple bond, if it's not anything else but you, Lord. And so, God, I just pray that you use this event, that you use this time that we have set apart for you, Lord. We come to meet you and to get your perspective on life, and to glean from one another in your word. So, Lord, I just pray that you do that in this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, as a pastor's wife, I have the privilege and sometimes the cumbersome opportunity to hear a variety of different opinions about life. And I don't say that because I don't enjoy talking life with others. I do, but I just want to illustrate the variety of opinions, that they can be so contrary from as far as the East is from the West, that you hear these people's perspectives on and their take on life and how you should apply that to you specifically, especially when it refers to controversial topics like the presidential candidates. That's something we all are familiar with right now, about how about a gay marriage, legalizing gay marriage, or the legalization of marijuana, or in this case, social media. I think it's safe to say that we have, as Christians, it's hard for us to see eye to eye on whether or not believers should partake in this social media network culture that we have today. This is such a controversial topic that there are thousands of articles on the internet talking and discussing the pros and cons of social media in a Christian's life today. Tim Challey, a world-renowned blogger, author, and book reviewer, stated that as a Christian, you need to be able to identify technology's potential while recognizing its potential seductions. So as Christians, we need to take advantage and utilize this opportunity of using technology and these social network platforms to share the hope of the gospel, while at the same time, we need to guard ourselves from being consumed by the worldly allure that lies within it. One author of Christianity Today wrote, "The benefits of social networking are many but require judicious and responsible use to be enjoyed. When done well, social networking can enhance the fellowship of the church by providing congregants a window into each other's lives. It can mobilize congregants to serve their neighbors and enhance the church's mission by embedding the community of church relationships in the broader community." And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk about Scripture's take on how we should use social media today and how we can use social media to impact our culture and the communities around us. Pastor Skip has said it many times, and it's one of our axioms here at Calvary, that when speaking in regards to sharing the gospel, the methods will continuously change, but the message never will. 2,000 years ago, the disciples used their feet to take the gospel to the world. Today, for over the past century and centuries prior, we have been able to take advantage of man's inventions to take the gospel further and faster than ever before. And today, we literally can share the gospel with a flick of our fingertips. We just have to type a few letters in and share the gospel. The invention of the smartphone has dramatically changed our world. Back in 2012, Time magazine did a survey of 5,000 people from four different continents, and they found staggering results about smartphone usage. It said 84% of them could not go a single day without their phones. 20% of the respondents check their phones every 10 minutes. 50% of Americans sleep with their phones, and that rises to 80% between the age of 18 to 24. For American teenagers, touching the screen of a smartphone is the third most common activity behind sleeping and breathing. Yes, it's hard to believe. And this is back in 2012. Can you imagine what the polls would say today, 4 years later? If there are millions of people utilizing these technologies to gather information, to read the news, or and sometimes sleeping next to, why aren't we taking advantage of this platform more? I believe Christians should be flooding social media and the platforms that they offer with the hope of Jesus Christ. I will admit that I'm not good at this. We have a Snapchat thing. I don't even know what it's called. And yeah, that's how bad I am. Confession. That's why I'm here today, to learn. But I don't know these things. They come out with new social media applications every day. And just when I get a handle on one of them, a new one comes out and it's the new hit and it overwhelms me. Technology is advancing at such an exponential rate that I can't keep up. So I fall victim of not being able to necessarily utilize social media as I should. And again, that's why we're here today, right? To manage and maintain the opportunity to share the gospel with others through our social media circles. And what we need to remember, and I love that again, it's our axiom, is the methods of sharing the gospel will always change. They have changed and they will continue to do so. But the message of Jesus Christ will remain the same. Today we are going to look at how to affirm your faith and how to avoid the darkness. In 1 Corinthians, Paul shares a few different methods on how he shared the gospel. So if you read with me 1 Corinthians 9:19-23, it says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant of all, that I might win the more, and to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews, to those who are under the law as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law, to those who are without law as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you." To affirm our faith, Paul is here and he becomes all things to all men. What does that mean? Well, in today's language, I think it could be safe to be said as Paul is a man of many hats. For example, I am a wife, I am a mother, I am a Bible student, I am a Bible teacher, I'm an employee, and so on. And depending on which hat I am wearing, that is what impacts how I communicate and how I act. But who I am at the core is a child of God, and that core value will never change. Paul never forsook his relationship with God, but he forsook his liberties in Christ as a free man to reach as many people as possible. And depending on his spiritual platform, he wore different hats. In this section of scripture, he says, to the Jews I became as a Jew, to those who are who operated under the law, I operate under the law, to the Gentiles I became as a Gentile, and to the weak I became as the weak. All the while, he never compromised his relationship with the Lord. That is to say, he showed others respect and honor, and honored their values, their culture, their traditions, as long as it didn't contradict the teachings of Jesus. Paul was able to reach people spiritually by meeting with them humanly. He met each people group where they were at. He did not demean them or speak down to them for their lack of knowledge. He didn't condemn the lost or judge their lifestyles because they knew not what they were doing. Instead, he humbled himself. He sacrificed his preferences and his rights to show them respect with the hope that for the greater good, he would win their hearts to the Lord. Paul was able to penetrate hearts and people's lives throughout that time period in different culture groups because he bowed low and he raised the Lord high and he put others above himself. Philippians 2:3 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself." It is amazing to me how far respect and humility can take a person. But today, that is hard to come by. Today, Christians are seen as legalistic, bigots, you could say, or on the far other side, we're hypocrites, right? We're just full of hypocrisy. And the sad thing is I think the way oftentimes Christians paint themselves on social media is as such. They give themselves that image. And then those who are not out there doing that fall victim to that same label. Today, we need to be Christians who do not go to the extreme levels. We don't need to go to the far left or to the far right. And in this instance, I would probably specify the far left as those Christians who feel like they're so self-righteous that they are willing to die on any molehill to stand for their beliefs and moral codes, regardless of what the cost may be. Ladies, we are not the moral code police. We need to stop mistaking our job of preaching the gospel as defending the Bible. It's not our job to judge, it's not our job to condemn, and it's not our job to convict others. It is our job to preach the gospel, to share the gospel. The Lord is our great defender, and it is through his word that we are able to have belief and hope in Jesus and even give a response. That is why it's so important for us to know and study scripture. Peter says, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Through hiding God's word in your hearts, you are equipping yourself to have the perfect defense. You're allowing God to go to bat for you. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Your fistful of words that you post on social media will never be stronger than God's word. So stop throwing darts at others. Stop using your moral opinion and start using God's word with a spirit of meekness and the fear of God. And then on the opposite side of the pendulum, we have the far right, the believers that are so fearful of what others might think that they just stay quiet. They stay in the shadows so that they won't appear as controversial. People are so caught up in what is politically correct today that they fail to honor their God-given purpose to be a light to the world. Just like Tony Clark said this weekend, if you were at Calvary, he said, it is as if the world has come out of the closet and the Christian has been put in it. If this is you, if you have allowed the world to silence you, you need to overcome your fear and be bold. James MacDonald wrote, in regard to evangelism, God has not just told us what to do, he has told us how to do it. Embrace afresh the biblical method, clear, concise, unwavering witness for Christ, even in the face of opposition. The bold way is the biblical way. Testify boldly and without fear, regardless of the response, and you will know God's favor upon your witness for Christ. What it boils down to is, as Christians, we need to refrain from being legalistic. And we, at the same time, we need to overcome the pressures of being politically correct. There is such a thing as a middle ground. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The middle ground is where the cross stands. It is the feet of Jesus. Everyone's sins are equal at the foot of the cross. So we need to regain sight of our purpose. We need to make an impact on the world by being a light as Jesus was a light. His example showed us that God called us to be a light to the world and never to be never covered up or be ashamed of the gospel, to preach the truth in love and to show love as Christ would show love through our actions. In order to best use the social media platform and to proclaim the gospel, we must glean from Paul's strategy, and we must meet people where they are at emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And since we know that millions upon millions of them are on the social media bandwagon, we need to join them there. Because when we join them there, first you join them, then you show them the light of the Lord. We first come to meet them where they're at, and then we shine as Jesus would. Which brings me to our next point. Avoid the darkness. We are called to go into the world to share the gospel, not to become of the world. Notice that in verse 21, Paul says, to those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. Romans 12:2 says, and do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that God, good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One of the worst things we could do as Christians is give the world a reason to label the church as hypocrites. No, we aren't perfect. No, we do fall short and we do mess up. But that does not give you the right or the excuse to display inappropriate images or use inappropriate vernacular. Your social media account should never be a platform in which you gloat in your liberties in Christ. For example, there is nothing wrong with drinking alcohol, if you are of legal age, which I think you all are. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you advertise on social media and display it for all the world to see, you are on the road to a spiritual breakdown. Paul specifically abstained from eating particular meats and working on the Sabbath in front of those it would impact to avoid the appearance of evil. By choosing to gloat in your liberties via social media, you will do one of three things. One, give Christianity a false identity. And what I mean by that is the things the world should, the things that lure someone in to the Lord or to the church should never be what the world has to offer. How can you offer the hope of Jesus Christ if you are offering them the very same thing the world is offering them? Jesus, it should and always be the only lure. He is the only thing that they should be drawn to. Tony Clark said, "You are the photograph of Jesus to this world." So how are you any different from the world if the words you use, if your actions, or even the photos you post on social media, whether you are partying or not, give the appearance and the impression that you are? Again, it's not wrong to have a beverage, but if you gloat in that liberty, you can give a false impression to the world. Deuteronomy 14:2 says, "You have been set apart as holy to the Lord your God, and he has chosen you from all the nations of the earth to be his own special treasure." We will never influence the world if we try to be like it. The second thing that it could do is it can give unbelievers a reason to label the church as hypocrites. Colossians 1:21-22 says, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." Tim Challey wrote in a recent blog that all Christians should and are called to live above reproach. And I know that scriptures specifically speak to those who are leaders within the church, but the way Tim described it was, if you are living above reproach, your life is so consistent that your reputation is credible. You are an example worth following, and you do not make the gospel look fake by teaching one thing while doing another. Yes, our leadership is called to a higher standard, but we are called to follow that example. We have to practice what we preach. Third, it can stumble a fellow believer. We oftentimes excuse our behaviors or our posts or our terminology that has maybe offended another as we have different convictions. We might excuse how we stumble another with a response like, "Well, the Bible doesn't speak on that topic specifically, so I don't have to worry about it." Or we could have the quick-witted Christianese response of, "Well, the Lord hasn't convicted me of that." And I can say that not because I'm preaching at you, but because I'm guilty of it, of thinking that because this doesn't affect my personal walk with the Lord, it shouldn't impact yours. A wise friend told me, "It's not about you or the way you feel. It's about how you make others feel." Ladies, our actions, our words, and our posts are influential. They shape the way others perceive what is right and what is wrong. What is okay for you then becomes okay for me. And with knowing that, we need to esteem them higher than ourselves. Your walk with the Lord may be stronger now than it's ever been, but that doesn't mean those in your circles, whether it's social media or within your community, are at that same place in their walk with the Lord. And what appears as harmless to you may be the very thing that tempts another. 1 Corinthians 8:9 says, "But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak." We should always consider the impact of our actions and our words on others. Am I telling you that you don't get to enjoy life or that you can't celebrate in your freedom? No, I'm telling you to think before you speak, think before you act, and think before you post. Or, in the words of my husband, check yourself before you wreck yourself. He always has clever entendres. Some of you might be sitting here and think, like, what's the point? Why would I even want to get on social media when I have all these guidelines? You've put me in a box, or you have now just placed me in that Christian closet. You have labeled me as a Christian, therefore I can't benefit or be a beneficiary of the First Amendment, of freely expressing myself. And no, I'm not saying that. I'm simply rephrasing Paul's instructions. He said he became as the weak. So that doesn't necessarily have to do with physical weakness. Maybe it's spiritual weakness. Maybe it's emotional weakness. You have to become all things to all men. We must die to ourselves, our preferences. Why? Why do this? It says that he did this, he sacrificed, and we should do the same so that we might save some. And I want to point out that word might. It's not even guaranteed that Paul's choice of living by discipline and above reproach would win souls to the Lord. But it was worth it to him. Is it worth it to you? It should be. Romans 10:15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Through your sacrifice, you will be blessed." So let's utilize the platforms of today and meet people where they're at. Let's be like Paul. Let's not shy away from social media, but embrace it and allow this platform to be the very thing that we use to glorify God through affirming our faith and avoiding the appearance of darkness. Let's pray. Lord, you are so good, and you can make anything that man invents or the devil intends to use for evil, you can make it good. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you that you can take something like social media that the world uses to exploit other things. We can use it to preach your word. We can use it as a platform to shine a light, Lord, on truth. And so, Lord, I just pray that you empower us to do so. Lord, that you gird our mouths, our minds, our hearts of saying things that may be condemning or just inappropriate and stumbling. Lord, I pray that you would be our filter and that you would help us to first filter what we have to share. But, Lord, then that we just run with this opportunity to share your love to the world, Lord. We love you and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So, like I said, I'm Brittany Alexia Byrne. My dad is from Australia and my mom is from here. And so growing up, I've had really an awesome opportunity to go and travel the world. And I do photography and art. So that's just kind of like what's natural, what I love doing, what I feel like God has gifted me in. And so those are like my things. I am an intern and I work in an advertising agency here in town. So a bit of my background is advertising and marketing and branding. And so I've been really diving into that and learning how to brand, especially on social media, learning better content and having a good strategy in that. So that's something I'm really excited about. Social media is such an amazing thing, and I think Janae has set it up really well to look at it biblically. And so now we're going to kind of look at it like corporately, or how we can get into the world and sharing the gospel without just being hypocritical or judgmental Christians. We're also Christians that are afraid to step into the light and afraid to step into what God has given us. So I'm going to go over a little bit of the purposes of social media. Like we said, there are a lot of social media platforms. The biggest ones are Snapchat, Facebook, and Instagram. I think there's like over 1 billion users on Facebook. There are tons of people on Facebook, 60 million active users per day. So you have people creating content and posts and photos all the time, which is such a great thing. And it's kind of overwhelming if you don't know how to step in. You're like, oh, what's the point? Why would I step in? But God can use that in really beautiful ways. And Nicole's going to come up here in a minute. She's going to talk about that. But three main purposes of social media and the ways that you can use that. The first one is to connect. So using social media to connect with other people, even if you're not a brand or you're not trying to be an influencer or somebody in the world, you can use it to connect. So that just means liking people's photographs, commenting on them, commenting on their posts, learning about people's lives. And that's a way that you can love people in the church and love people outside of the world. Your friends from your workplace or from school, if they're posting things about their life, being like actively connected in their life is one way that you can actually love them and show them who Jesus is by building a relationship. It's a really great thing. The second one is to express. Psalm 139 talks about God and how he knows us. And one of the things that we can do on social media is express what God has given us and who he has made us to be. I feel like God has made me to be an artist and a photographer and somebody who tells stories. And so I've just begun to learn how to express that on social media, and I love it. Then the third thing is branding. Social media is such an amazing platform for people who are wanting to brand themselves or people who are wanting to do something great in the world. And it really, like, Instagram is kind of like what I've been focusing on, and Instagram is like free. It's like the best thing ever. So if you're trying to do something cool, if you have jewelry you want to sell, or maybe you're an interior designer, or you love baking or those sorts of things, like, it's a really great place to start. So if Nicole wants to come up, she's going to share a little bit as well, and we're going to kind of share the platform. So let's give it up for Nicole.
Good morning, ladies. Yeah, so basically I can tell you what works for me. I don't know all the science behind this, so I was excited to have Brittany come up here, and she and I get together often and talk about social media, because as a creative person, I kind of take something and run with it, you know. So for instance, when I was a child, I loved the ocean, so I knew everything about the ocean. So when I decided I wanted to go into Instagram, I wanted to learn all I could about it. So I basically sat down with my notebook and watched a few YouTube videos and decided, okay, what do I want this to look like for me? So, like Brittany was talking about branding, I went to, other accounts that appealed to me and thought, what do I like about this account? Was it like the content they were putting, the colors, filters, whatever it might be? So I encourage you to do the same for yours as well. The way I kind of started my journey was I was kind of in this season of winter, you know, like that winter season where you feel like, gosh, Lord, why do you have me here? I feel like I'm not being utilized. I feel like I've been taken away from everything that I once was doing. I had a few ladies come to me and say, I haven't seen you here for a while. Well, it's because I've been in winter. And I feel like now the Lord's showing me, you know, this is like your little bit beginning of spring. And through that winter season, I began to just seek the Lord and pray, and I felt like he wanted me to focus mostly on my family. And through that, I started to redesign our dining room. And I've always loved to decorate. I've always loved it. It's been a passion of mine since I was 5 years old and had a strawberry shortcake bedroom. So when I began to do this, I just began to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, like, I want to create something beautiful for my family, for them, and unto you. And we can do that in anything we do in life, whether it's photography or cooking, whatever giftings the Lord has given you, you can do them to serve others and to serve him. And so I began to pour myself into this kitchen, into this dining room, I'm sorry. And my youngest daughter, who is now 13, I think she was 11 at the time, told me, Mom, why don't you start a public Instagram account with your design? And I was like, I don't got time for that. You know, I'm thinking, like, there's just no way. I'm kind of late to the game. People have been doing this for a long time. And so I just basically said, no, I'm not going to do that. So a year later, I'm still in this season. And again, she tells me, Mom, why don't you start a public Instagram account? And I was like, you know, maybe it would be a good creative outlet, thinking maybe I'd have like 100 followers of my friends and family. So I just thought, you know what, if anything, I think that this might be something that would be good for me. And so I began to do the research, like I mentioned earlier, and just made a plan before I went into it, because I kind of felt like, you know what, like the Lord tells us to be faithful in the little. I wanted to be faithful in the little before I put myself out there. I didn't want to just put a bunch of quantity over quality. Mm-hmm. That was one thing my girls told me. When you post, it's not about quantity, it's about quality. Yes, you have to be consistent, mm-hmm. but you want things that are going to look nice. You know, I don't break out the camera because I'm not you know, professional photographer. I'm all about my iPhone. So that works for me. But as I began to put myself out there, I was like, wow, somebody other than my husband and kids are following me. And so you kind of start seeing this growth, and you begin to learn from yourself. That was all I wanted to do too, is just to learn from my own mistakes, because I have no formal training in interior design. But I just thought, you know what, I want to learn from other people, because there are so many talented people out there, whether it's through fashion, design, you know, whatever it is. I just thought there's so much talent, and we have so much to glean from others. And so I, you know, those little squares, I began to see them pop up, and I began to learn for myself. Like, I go back and look at some of my first posts, and I'm like, ugh, yikes, what was I thinking? But it's really fun just to even see how the Lord grows you, not only in your talent, but just through people that he puts in your path. You know, I have people who private message me often and ask, what's the difference that I see? And I'm kind of more behind the scenes, where I get to talk to people through private messaging. And it's just been a really, really cool experience that the Lord has had me go through. But, you know, the things that Brittany and I have talked about are, my girls were like, Mom, when I have my private account, they'd be like, Mom, why do you make up hashtags? And I was like, yeah, it's my private account. I can do what I want. If I want to make a whole hashtag for Sunday night dinner, I can do that. Yeah. Well, when you have a public account, you can't do that.
Yeah. I think, I mean, there's this mic. So I think, like, what's been really cool for Nicole is that, like, sometimes on Instagram, I don't know if you're Instagram savvy, but you'll see these, like, chunks of hashtags. Hashtags are basically just tags that link your content to larger content. So it's like a pool of, like, the same photo. But they can be so effective if you're using them in the right way. Because brands, what they'll do is say, like, if you want to be featured on our page, use this hashtag. And then if you use that hashtag, you might get a chance to be featured, and then features is how you get followers, and it grows your account and that sort of thing. And
yeah,
Nicole does that really, really well. It takes like a little bit of research to find all of the like hashtags that are going to be right for you.
Right. Well, I thought it was ridiculous when I used to see people who had like, you know, 20 hashtags. I used to be like, why do you have so many hashtags, dude? But then I realized that they actually matter. And honestly, because I'm so like, because I'm so like learning this still, because I've only had my account for 9.5 months now. I had to go and peek at other people's hashtags, like other interior designers, like, okay. So then I would even Google, like, what is a hashtag? What does that link back to? I want to make sure it links back to something legit and not sketchy, you know? But, I began to learn like that. And then, like Brittany said, I would go look at people's profile, and it would say, like, West Elm, for instance, my West Elm, hashtag my West Elm. Oh, okay. I'll use that. And so then before you know it, you start being featured, and people, your name's out there, or even if somebody else clicks on that hashtag, they find you. So it's a very great tool.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, even if you're not trying to be like a personal brand or anything like that, there's so many awesome things, like going back to just like simplicity in Instagram. I think Nicole is such a great example. Like, I love her content. I just think it's so great, and it's so relatable, and her stuff is just really honest and really real. And that makes it like fun to look at. So I would just say another thing, if you're trying to brand yourself, or if you want to step into that role, I would just say go for it. I mean, that's something that I've started to do. It's been difficult for me for like different reasons. And it's funny because I've been in like very much the same season that Nicole was in. But one thing that's really interesting to me, It's kind of like an out of place quote, but it makes sense. Peyton Manning, when he's talking about football, and Aaron Rodgers has said the same thing, but he said, I don't think God really cares about football. And when you think about Peyton Manning, one of the best quarterbacks of all time, for him to say that he doesn't care about football, I think that God feels the same way about social media. I don't think God really cares about how many followers you have or how many likes you get, but he cares about how it influences your character and how it shows his glory to the rest of the world. So whether you're getting 5 likes or 5,000 likes, like how that influences your character and how that shows his glory. But I mean, the hardest part is just like starting. So if you want to do it, just like develop a plan and just go for it, because it's uncomfortable to put yourself out there. It's kind of awkward. And if people aren't liking your content or following you, it's like, oh my gosh, like, ah, but really like, I don't know, the Lord, that's how I feel.
And but, I'm kind of opposite, because I've always been like, I don't care if people like my stuff. Honestly, my style is very unique in that some of you might go look at it and be like, oh gosh, like there's nothing here for me. And that's okay, because that's how God's created us. There is variety.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about how he's created us. You know, you look at each of us, and here we all look different. Every sunset is different.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved, is that you know, I was talking to my daughters. I have three daughters, and I was talking to them the other day, and I just said, you know what? Never put your worth in men approving of you.
Amen.
And how many likes you get. Because I, you know, I'm much older than Brittany, so I didn't grow up with social media, so I don't find value in that. I told my daughters, if I wake up tomorrow and every follower is gone, all right, who cares? God has something else for me.
Yeah.
It's okay. But, you know, with this younger generation, it is harder because that is something that's really important. But like Brittany was talking about, like, it's okay if one person likes it or no people like it. I mean, what is God telling you?
Yeah.
And that's basically what I felt with my account was like, I feel like the Lord is saying, go ahead and go with this. And it took a whole year of me just kind of praying it through and not even seeing it in the beginning, but seeing how he was working me towards that season.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. Like on the lower end, I've grown up with social media since I was like 11. And so it's been very much so like a part of how I identify myself and value and worth and that sort of thing. But I mean, against everything else, like who does the Lord say you are and how does he want you to show his glory to the rest of the world? So I think that's all the time we have. So thanks for giving us a chance to talk about what God is doing.
Thanks,
really great.
And feel free to ask us, if you have more questions, feel free to ask us at our tables afterward. We'd be happy to help you.
Yeah. So the next speaker is Lindsay Maestas. So let's go ahead and give up a hand for Lindsay.
Good morning. Okay. So it was really nice to talk to everyone today. It kind of encouraged me in feeling like there's a lot of people in the same boat as I am. So I'll introduce myself. My name is Lindsay, and I started my blog Sparrows and Lily about 2 months ago. When I first started, I decided I wanted the heart and the foundation of my blog to be a reminder to everyone who read that they're valued and cherished and loved by an amazing and gracious God, especially through the most difficult and wearing seasons in our lives. So I chose the name Sparrows and Lily based on two of my favorite verses that have always reminded me as a daughter of Jesus that I'm loved and cherished. So the first verse I'm going to share is Matthew 6:28-32. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And then the second verse is Matthew 10:29-31. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So I want to begin by telling you a little bit about my fear. The first time that I had a desire to start my blog was about 4 years ago. And again, I've only had it for 2 months. I battled God on it nearly every single day throughout that time. I struggle living my life with perpetual worry and constant fear. It plays into fear of disappointment, fear of being disliked, fear of not having enough acceptance, and consistently worrying that I'll never be enough. This fear has worked its way into my marriage, my friendships, my parenting, and my hobbies. And it's prevented me pursuing many things, but very importantly, it kept me from being obedient to God's calling when he continuously called me to encourage and love on his people through my gifting. Over and over again, the Lord has used friends, family, my husband a lot, and a ton of strangers who didn't even know my situation to encourage me to write. Throughout those 4 years, I attributed these comments and moments of encouragement as random and coincidental, although I know that nothing in my life is random or coincidental. But I was just choosing to be disobedient. So why? Because of my sinful fear. So I allowed my mind to run wild with so many doubts, and I allowed Satan to just fill my mind constantly instead of battling it with God's word. I had thoughts like, what if nobody reads? What if all of the comments are negative and discouraging? We've all read YouTube and Facebook comments, and they can be super harsh. And my husband told me before I started, he said, Lindsay, you need to get thick skin, knowing how emotional I am and sensitive. And it's still thin, but I'm working on it. I allowed Satan to fill my mind with lies that this blog would not glorify God. It would never go anywhere, and people would think I was ridiculous for pursuing a misunderstood ministry. I often ask myself, what if I'm totally deceived and I don't actually have this gift at all? Am I totally alone in this, or can any of you relate? As daughters of the King, we've all been given a gifting, whether it be encouragement, giving, leadership, discernment, etc. It takes active obedience to listen to this calling and pursue it. Currently, some of you are living in obedience and in the fullness of joy that God has intended because you are using your gifts. Some of you are using your gift a little bit, but not using it in the amount or in the way that God is calling you to. Some women in here are like I was, completely avoiding or ignoring God's calling because of personal excuses or justification. I want each of you to think for a moment about which category you would fall into. Jesus wants to use your gift to make his name great. It really has very little to do with you, which takes a lot of pressure off, I think. It's not about making our name great. As I read scripture and prayed about this blog, I realized it wasn't about overcoming my fears, but instead I just needed to keep my eyes on Jesus. When our eyes are set on him, they won't be on anything but him. Not our fear, not our pride, not our self-consciousness, whatever the struggle is, it's freeing. Our whole lives, including our gifting, should just be about glorifying his name. I want to share an email with you that I received from a lady that I haven't yet met. This isn't to boast, but to show God's provision through our gifts. She said, I want to thank you for touching my heart this morning with your post. Lately, my husband and I have been living separately as his job has him living in another state. After missing him and feeling frustrated, we felt as if our words to one another were becoming toxic. Your post perfectly described our situation. It helped me to remain mindful of the impact our words have on each and every moment and how they can either weaken or strengthen us as a couple. We need to be slow to speak and keep our minds on God. After reading, I shared your blog with my husband, and we both realized that what we were arguing about was so insignificant that it never needed to carry on to the point of damaging our marriage, and we were well on our way to doing so. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. God used your words to help and heal our marriage in a huge way. Thank you for sharing. So I want to reiterate that this is not of me, that this is God's provision. I had absolutely no control of that post getting into her hands. I don't even know how we're connected, and I definitely didn't have any control over the timing that she received this word and the situation between she and her husband. That was all Jesus. He just used me to communicate his message. Sometimes we can be ruled by fear, or we can be ruled by a lack of fear of God. We may not know what our gifting is, but we don't necessarily care to find out either. But what I want you all to remember is that you don't know when you'll come across someone who needs your gift. You could lose out on making disciples and being his light because you don't care enough about your gifting. In any moment, God could use you to change someone's life. He doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us. Ladies, what is your gift? What are your goals and desires that God has placed on your heart? Let us not rob Jesus of the gift that he has given to us to make his name great. In all of your social media endeavors and in everything, as moms, as wives, as friends, remember that he is God, he is good, he's in control, even of our failures, and he desires beautiful things for our lives. And even if we do fail, it's okay. Even if you failed 10 times this morning, you can have complete peace and contentment knowing that Jesus is perfect where you are not. He is weak where you are strong, He is strong where you are weak. And he covers our failures by his grace. It's not about doing better, but seeking him more. And he's never failed to know better than us, no matter how hard we might fight him sometimes. So this is the most important tip I can give, and that's why I elaborated on it so much, is that no matter what you do, if your foundation is not on the Lord, it's going to shake and you're going to rock and fall. You have to stay on that and not sway. So now I have some other practical tips on getting started with social media and blogging. So on a very basic level for your website, starting your blog, choose a name and a style for your account that relates to your topic and your niche. People want to see who you are. They want to see you behind the scenes. They want to know who the person behind the computer. So make sure that you love your topic. Make sure that it's something you're passionate about. On my blog, it's kind of everything right now. It's lifestyle and food and fashion and a lot of hard life stuff and devotions. But I'm starting to lean toward relationships, and I think it's important to not incorporate everything just because it's easier or just because other people are doing it. You need to do what you love and focus on that. And people can sense when you're not passionate about your topic. Keep in mind that the more specific you are with your market and the blog, the more you can weed out competition and find a specific target market for what you're looking for. When people subscribe to your social media account, say Nicole's for home decor, if she were to start posting a ton of food, she might get new followers, but she also might lose some people because they're there for a specific reason. So just from the beginning, set up exactly what you're doing and what your goal is. Create a logo or hire someone to do it for you, but be with them on it. Know what you want your style to be. I currently use WordPress.com, which is a site that is very helpful because you can do a lot of add-ons. So say you go to somebody's blog and you see a picture or a button that you like. You can add that button to your blog. You can find a way to do it. It's a little bit more difficult and I'm not super tech savvy, but it is something that you can learn and you can grow. There's also a site called Foursquare that you can use, and that is a lot easier to navigate, but less customizable. Another huge rule of thumb is to ensure that you're not comparing yourself to other people. You will get discouraged. I struggle with this all the time and just saying, oh my gosh, that person, like, how did they grow so fast, so quickly? How did they get this feature? Whatever it might be. And when we start to look at other people, we completely lose sight of what God has in store for us and what our number, what He knows exactly where He wants us to be in this. He knows what's good for our hearts. And so you just have to stay focused on yourself. Next, be your brand. People want to see your face. And it's good to throw a quote or whatever it might be in there. But people want to know who they're talking to and the people that want to be involved with you and interactive with you are ones who, I feel at least when I see people's pages and I know who I'm talking to, I'm more drawn to their page. So that's just a thought. Don't be afraid to ask people for things. So I have asked a lot of people for advice or for features, whatever it might be. And some people have said no to me and I didn't get my feelings hurt. I understand. But some people have said yes. And just recently, I actually, long story short, sent a link to Huffington Post and just asked to the editor of Huffington Post, would you be willing to feature, and a friend of mine gave me the contact information and they featured it. And it never would have happened had I not just asked the question. Lastly, listen to webinars. So they're usually no more than an hour, but there are webinars on everything. Pinterest is not my strong suit. So I'm constantly listening to webinars on that topic to learn, and you can find them everywhere, just Google. On building a following, probably the most important thing I can say in regards to building a following is to create relationships and network with other bloggers, kind of like Brittany and Nicole were saying. So it is such a supportive community. It is like Christian community. It is so encouraging and supportive and kind, and the more that you interact with people and focus less on yourself and more on them, the more you'll find people interested in who you are and what you're doing. So it's a scratch my back and I'll scratch yours mentality, but genuine. So a practical way to do this, I spend 20 minutes a night when I have time, just finding other bloggers through hashtags or following other people, liking, commenting, following, and just authentic, genuine comments. And not only did they see your stuff and want to see what you're providing as content, but other people see, like, hey, this girl was, she's actually really paying attention to what they're writing and not just putting nice picture. So just find that people will be intrigued by who you are more if you're intrigued with them. And no matter what your social media avenue is, taking great photos is huge. My stepsister Tish and Desiree, stepsister and sister-in-law, Tish and Desiree are professional photographers and they help me so much with my photos because my photos are awful. But you can figure it out. Just even webinars and helping you learn how to take pictures is huge. Also use one filter on all of your photos to create consistency. So when you see somebody's Instagram page, you're like, oh my gosh, that just looks so pretty. How do they do that? Most of the time, they take good photos and they use one filter for every single picture. So I use an app called Visco, I think, and it's V-S-C-O. And I love it. Or there's Photoshop Express or just Instagram filters as long as you're using the same one. And then always put a call to action on everything that you do. So this means asking people outright for exactly what you want on your site. Do you want someone to pin your photo on your blog? put a huge link, please pin, or pin this for later, so that they know that's what you want them to do. If you want someone to follow you on Instagram, put it on every single Facebook post that you do, every single blog. Do you want people to subscribe? Have a scrolling pop-up box on your website that constantly reminds them, subscribe here. And subscriptions are so important. These are people who are really interested in what you have to say. So I always encourage people who compliment my posts to subscribe, because not everyone sees Facebook or Instagram posts, especially with new algorithms. So focus on those subscribers and encouraging people to give you their email through giveaways or whatever it might be. And then one huge tip that I learned that was really helpful to me is to show subscribers that you appreciate them, and do like a little ebook. So I'm currently working on a 10-page ebook for my favorite holiday and fall foods. And that is, I mean, it's just, hey, you actually open my emails, and that's awesome. So here's something for you that I want to give to you. I still have some time. Yeah. So in regards to Pinterest, I use a website called canva.com to make my Pinterest pictures. You can also use PicMonkey or any photo editing apps that allow you to create collages. So a few things I've learned real quick. I've learned that vertical pictures and pins are pinned almost 90% more than horizontal photos. And Pinterest doesn't put constraints on your pictures. So the longer, the better, the more likely you are to be pinned. And that warm tones are more pinned than cool tones. And you want to make sure that you put a ton of keywords in the description box of your pin. So Pinterest, unlike Instagram, is not good for hashtags. Do not use hashtags. You want to use a ton of keywords and writing in a conversational way. Lastly, there's also a Facebook group called Pinterest Promotion for Bloggers, and you can get your pins repinned every day just by posting on that page. So you just say, hey, this is my pin, and they say, okay, pin other 15 other people, and then they all pin your stuff as well. And you could do it daily. And again, it's Pinterest Promotion for Bloggers. So in conclusion, I want to encourage you all to keep your eyes on Jesus. Everything that we do should be done unto the Lord, our marriages, our work, our parenting, our hobbies, our friendships, and our social media. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then I have a quick giveaway. So I have the Uninvited book by Lisa Turkhurst. My best friend actually told me about this book, but it says Living Loved When You Feel Less Than Left Out and Lonely. So I'll pull the first person. Nicole Naranjo. Okay, and then next I have a $25 Target gift card because I love Target. Mariah Meese. Oh! Okay. And then our next speaker that I would like to introduce is Sherry. So give a hand for Sherry.
Okay, I'm super nervous, so you can just bear with me. And if you're really nervous to do whatever the Lord's calling you to do, hopefully this will be encouraging to you. My name is Sherry Lopez, and I am the owner of a company called Lovishly. I was able to meet quite a few of you out there. Lovishly is a jewelry company that exists to raise awareness for different social issues and then give back to organizations that are working hard to make a difference around the world. The reason I started Lovishly is because, I might cry, sorry, but because of my children. So I'm going to tell you not necessarily a little bit about them, but a little bit about the struggles that some of my kids have gone through. I am the mom to 10 amazing children. My oldest is 10 years old, and they range from 10 all the way down to 3. We have triplets that we adopted domestically. They were born at only 25 weeks to a teenage mother. And on several occasions, they were not expected to live. The littlest one was only 13 ounces when he was born. And he's, as far as we know, I mean, he's 6 years old now, but the smallest baby that ever lived from Press Hospital. And so every day we get the pleasure and joy of just watching little miracles that God has just healed in amazing ways. We also adopted twins from Uganda, and we brought them home when they were 4 years old. And so from the time that they were born and until 4 years old, they just experienced more hardships than most of us would experience in a lifetime. They have experienced the death of a parent and then also lived in a community where clean water was a luxury and many people were unsure of where their next meal would come from. And it was, well, my husband was in Uganda. He was there for 6 weeks to in order to bring the twins home. I had found out a surprise. I was pregnant before then, but it was while he was in Uganda that we found out our son had a very rare medical condition, and the doctors told us that he had about a 50% chance of not surviving, and that if he did survive, he would likely have a life full of suffering and lots of surgeries. But we decided that that was God's choice to be able to choose what he would do with our son. And so about 2 months after my husband got back from Uganda, our son was born, and he is, by God's grace, still here. We're so thankful for that. But he does have a condition called arthrogryposis that affects all of his joints and limbs, and he's not able to walk. He's super fun. He has a little electric wheelchair that he uses to get around, and he'll race you and play with you. And then he also has a brain malformation that makes speaking and that sort of thing very difficult for him. And he is the reason why we adopted our last son from China. He also has arthrogryposis, which is the same condition as our biological son. And he just came home. He's been home for a year in October. And he actually does really well and is able to function very well and can walk, although you can still see the contractures in his joints. And our little boys are only 6 months apart. So they're super fun friends and get to experience things together. They're in the hospital a lot, and one had surgery about a month ago and one just had surgery on Monday, and they FaceTime from the hospital. And then when the other one came home, you would have thought that they had been apart for years. There was just talking. And sometimes because they both have speech delays, you would not understand at all what they are saying, but they get it and they understand. So they're fun to watch and listen to. But basically, my children are the passion behind why I do what I do. Watching my children suffer through many different difficulties is probably the most difficult thing the Lord has called me to do. But ultimately, it's also given me a front row seat to see God glorified through these circumstances and an opportunity to see his grace in both big and small ways. We have been through about 20 surgeries in the last 6 years. We've traveled all over the United States to be able to get good health care for our kids. We've gone to LA, to Dallas, to Stanford, and in about 2 weeks we're going to Boston Children's in order for our kids to get good medical care. We've had to stay at hospitals for up to 6 weeks at a time, and it was really working through these hard and difficult circumstances that the Lord just pulled my heart in the direction of just being passionate about meeting other people in these difficult times in their lives. And really what was kind of the big point for me was when we adopted and brought our kids home from Uganda, and I was just working through some of the things that they've experienced, some of the ways that we as Americans have decided to meet the needs have unfortunately been more hurtful than necessarily helpful. And so I knew someday I am going to have to answer some really difficult questions for my kids. And I did not want to have to look them in the eye and say, I knew of these injustices, I saw what was happening, and I did nothing. And so I just prayed for how the Lord could use me, but I was passionate about a lot of different things because of all of our different kiddos and their circumstances. But I also didn't have the ability to go volunteer for all of these different organizations. And so I just started working through, okay, God, where do you want me? And I've always loved business. And so basically, I started a business where we design necklaces, and that was just something that I could do late at night when all of the kids are sleeping. And my goal was to give people an opportunity to learn more about different social issues around the world and also find ways to be involved, because oftentimes we want to help, we just don't know how to help. And so my goal with this was to create necklaces that would become then conversation pieces, so that you might be able to show somebody, oh, I love your necklace, and then they say, oh, let me tell you about this organization and where it came from. And then at the same time, we're partnering with these organizations to not only raise awareness, but then also we give back $5 from every necklace to these organizations. So we're helping fund them as well, because unfortunately, a lot of nonprofits spend so much time trying to fundraise, they're not able to do the work that they need to be doing on the ground where they're at. So social media is a big part of our business, mostly because it is free advertising. And so we use Facebook and Instagram because they actually target our specific audience. People find us and then they're following us. And then that's a good way for people to remind people we're there so they can make purchases. So I'm going to kind of hopefully more just encourage you if you're in this field and ways to be involved, but kind of talking on a little bit of what some of the other speakers have said, but I would just encourage you, if you are getting into social media, to not compare yourself to others. Don't be afraid to start small, even if things are not perfect. And I do like their ideas as far as making sure that you're trying to plan and being intentional, but you have to start somewhere. And so if you are starting to look at other people's posts and comparing what they have versus you, you're just at two very different places. And so just be passionate about whatever your cause is, and conveying passion will lead to followers and will lead to people getting excited about whatever you're excited about. When you look at some of these other platforms, they might have, or not necessarily platforms, but other people within the industries, and they have huge advertising budgets and huge, they have someone designated just for their social media accounts, but don't compare yourself to them, because the Lord can use you where you are at with what you have. I am not very talented at a lot of these things, and yet I've just seen God's grace again and again to just use what little I'm able to give, and He's grown that. So I have seen the social media accounts that go from 1 to 1 million overnight, but that's not typical. And also, just because they're doing that, if the Lord wanted that for your business, that would happen. And so don't be worried about the numbers. Just worry about being faithful in the small things and being diligent with what He's given you. The other thing that I've been actually really encouraged with this group in general is just the reminder to cheer each other on. Because social media, especially when you're getting started, can be a very intimidating and difficult place. But if you have a friend that's starting a business, encourage them. Like their photos. Comment on their posts, because that's helpful for them and it's encouraging for them. I have friends who have 60,000 followers on Instagram, and still to this day they will say, if a friend that I know comments on my post, that means way more to me than anybody else that I don't know or I'm not aware of. So try to love on each other and encourage each other, and don't be afraid to just be more involved in what your friends are doing. Tell other people about what they're doing. The other thing is finding like-minded people that are also doing what you're doing. I feel like some of the biggest blessings that we've seen through social media have been finding other people who are maybe passionate about adoption, or other people that are passionate about business, and we've been able to create collaborations with them. We've designed necklaces specifically for their causes, and like they mentioned before, don't be afraid to reach out, because I think sometimes it can be intimidating if you see somebody that has a lot of followers and think that they are bigger than life, but really a lot of these people are just everyday people like you and I. And so reach out, talk to people, and some of those relationships are some of the sweetest things that can be used through social media. And then last but not least, I guess, I'm not here to sell you the lie that you can have it all, because I do think that obviously if you are not in a place to start a business or start some sort of blog on social media, that's where the Lord has you. And so I wouldn't tell you to go ahead and just do it. But yet at the same time, if the Lord is calling you to step out in faith, he covers that in grace. I know that my business does take time away from my kids, but I also know that the Lord is using it in my family. I know that being a mom has made me a better business person because I'm passionate about my causes. I see these things in my children, and I'm able to be more passionate about what I do and move forward as I'm working. But also at the same time, my kids know if they want to make money, they can come clean necklaces with me or sit next to me, and they can come box necklaces. And sometimes that means that the next day I'm having to pay somebody to take them all back out and re-clean them and re-box them. But at the same time, it's just a great opportunity for them to be involved and to be there and to learn how to work hard. And they get to see their mom be excited about something. They get to see their mom working hard at something. And we've also just had a really sweet opportunity to create conversations at the dinner table with our kids that maybe wouldn't have happened otherwise. Even last night, I was wondering, what do they even believe that Lovishly is? And it was just sweet to hear their responses, because we do talk about the causes that we give back to. And to them, it's sort of all just the same. But somebody said, well, Lovishly gives necklaces to people. And then somebody said, Lovishly helps homeless people. And then somebody else said, they help the kind people. So to my kids, I'm not sure they necessarily see people as different or necessarily a cause, but they know that our goal is to serve and love other people. And so I'm excited about that. So I would just, no matter where you're at, I would just be encouraged with where you're at, because ultimately your goal is not a business or the perfect social media site, but just rather an opportunity to honor Christ where you are and be confident in who he's created you to be. So our next speaker is Nick.
Wow. Who's the weird guy who showed up to the women's ministry, right? My name's Nick McKinley, and I was asked to come in and speak to you about safety on social media. And let me start by saying, I'm not here to discourage you from using social media, right? Think of social media like a car, right? There's a lot of responsibility that comes with driving your car. Your car can be a weapon. Your car can also save somebody's life by rushing them to the hospital, right? So great responsibility, great power. Social media can be the ultimate city on a hill, right? And that's what we're supposed to be. But with that responsibility the power of being the city on the hill, it means that we have to have some responsibility for the safety of not just ourselves, but the people around us. I didn't get an opportunity to hear earlier. I didn't want to really weird people out by coming and staying for the whole thing. But as I understand it, you guys have already covered a little bit of physical safety, mental safety, and spiritual safety. And what do you know? God has me speaking about those very things. The first is I want to provide some context about the internet. The internet is forever. All right. So just let that sink in real quick. It is forever. Every single keystroke that you have ever made that is connected to the internet still exists today. Now, currently, you need to be somebody like me with lots and lots of technical skills in order to find that stuff. But in 10 years, when my 6-year-old son is 16, every 12, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old will be able to find everything that you've ever put on the internet. Luckily, it'll be buried real, real deep, but it will all be there. So just keep that in mind. So let's first talk about physical safety, because that's what everybody tends to focus on first, right? All threats at the end of the day are physical. If somebody makes a verbal threat against you, that doesn't really do anything to you unless you choose to allow it to affect you. So all threats are physical. So we're going to cover that first. The first is just use common sense. All right. Part of the reason why I believe I was asked to speak is because I came from a career in military special operations, and then I was recruited over to the Central Intelligence Agency, and I was an operative there for about 7.5 years, and now I run a nonprofit. But the common sense thing, that's how us spies stayed out of trouble, which is common sense, right? So turn off your location services. Nobody needs to know where you took that photo, unless it's like of Yosemite and it's obvious. All right. Don't check in places. If you're checking in at your friend's business to show that you are, you know, frequenting that business or to help them out with marketing or advertising, that's fine. But you don't need to let people know where you shop. You don't need to let people know the different places that you go on a regular basis, because that allows the bad guys to map out what we call a pattern of life. And then if they want to find you, they can find you anytime they want, because they just look at the top three places that you go. So use some common sense when you're in regards to your geographic location. Part of that geographic location piece is don't take photos in front of your home where we can see your address. Or if there's a landmark or something like that that's near your home, there's really no reason to do that. And what that does is it makes it safer for your kids. Make your pages viewable only to your friends. And my recommendation for those of you who have businesses is have two pages. Have a personal page where you can communicate personal stuff with your friends, and you can communicate with your community, but then have a business page where you can communicate with a public writ large. Try to make it so that only your friends can see your personal information. I'm not saying don't put personal information. Obviously, you want to be careful about what you do, but don't, you know, share. Feel free to share your struggles with your friends. Just do it on a separate page. Beware of the trolls. There are people, and they're bad people. Think back to when you were young, the bridge troll. That's what they all look like. And they are sitting behind keyboards, and they are perusing the internet looking for victims. And they're doing that right now. And there's hundreds of thousands of them just in the United States alone. There's millions of them worldwide. These are bad people who are looking to do everything from steal your credit cards to steal your kids. All right. So make sure that you think about that when you're getting that odd friend request. When somebody sends you that link, hey, check out this link. Think about that. There are the big ones that you need to be worried about, especially if you're under the age of 25, or if you have children, are obviously pedophiles and human traffickers. That is the space that I currently work in. I work against those people. And even my eyes, with all of my training, have really been opened up to what exactly these people are capable of and how technically savvy they are. So keep your personal pages locked down so that only your community can see them. In regards to your mental safety, Proverbs 18:8 says, "The words of the talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body." When you're using social media, keep in mind the internet is forever. So what tasty trifles are you putting on the internet that can be used against you or your kids in the future? Now, it might be funny to post a a picture of our 7-year-old who did something really funny. But their kids aren't, you know, their friends aren't on social media. So our friends think it's funny, but it's actually embarrassing to them. And then you fast forward 9 years and there they are in middle school or high school. And guess what gets printed out? 200 of them and gets put all over locker rooms and all over hallways of schools. That picture of them, you know, falling down when they were 7, or that picture of them, when they were 3 and they had a bedwetting accident. So think about how what you're posting, which may seem funny, could be a tasty trifle to that could be used against your children down the road. Also, in our current culture, we are becoming, as Christians, increasingly marginalized, right? Laws are being written in such a way that they are against us. So when you're posting things on social media, think about how if the laws were to change, and we all know the book of Revelation, they're like things are not going to get better, how can those things be used against you in the future? Social engineering. Social engineering is something, and this whole subject is something I could give an entire one-day seminar on. But social engineering just basically means that I go out and become friends with somebody who's 3 degrees removed from you because I want to get within your inner circle. All right. Now, physically, that's a lot harder to do, and you kind of need professional training to know how to do it. But on the internet, it's real easy. How many of you know every single person, like know personally and have personally met every single person that you're friends with on Facebook? That's great, those of you who have. I do, because I don't have a Facebook account. But you need to keep that in mind, that social engineering is usually used for the purposes of getting your credit card information so your identity can be stolen. Who's had that happen to them? Not as many people as I would think. You need to get better passwords. All right. Also, when you're doing the social engineering piece, or people are doing it against you, what they're looking for is data so that they can get your passwords, so they can get into all your other accounts, so they can do it to all of your friends. So try to have a different password for every single account. Never click a link that was sent to you by somebody that you would not leave alone in your home with your kids, because that's what you're doing. If somebody sends you a link and you click on it, you are allowing them access to your home. And if your kids use that computer, you are allowing them access to your kids. If you look at the San Bernardino case, it came out in the media that there's one click on an iPhone and they could break into an iPhone, all right? Now, is somebody going to spend that kind of money to go after you personally? No. But on a computer, it costs about $1. So somebody can spend $100, and they only have to have one person click the link, and now they've got your credit card, all your personal information, and pretty much control of your entire computer. They'll go through your computer while you sleep, get everything they can out of it, and then go on to the rest of your friends. You don't want to be that friend that opened that up to everybody within your social network. So don't click a link from somebody that you don't know. Also within social engineering, don't accept friend requests from people you don't know. Don't try to just get your likes or your friend numbers up. Within the human trafficking world that I fight against right now, I do that to human traffickers all the time. My analysts go in and actually create relationships online with human traffickers, and we give that information to law enforcement. So if we can do that with those guys, and they are actively trying to stay away from law enforcement, how much easier is it for somebody to do to somebody who's not suspecting it and really isn't thinking of the world through that lens? Set the example for your kids. That's the biggest piece of advice I can give on mental safety, is if you post something online, could you, whether you have kids now or you will in the future, or you have nieces, nephews, parents, would that be something you would want them to see? And if it's not, it's probably not something you should be putting on the internet, because the internet is forever. And then for spiritual safety, which is something that I feel really called to task to talk about, only because I've seen this happen in my own life. And Proverbs 26:17 says, "He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears." And so within social media, there are people who are just looking to fight. And they are just going to put content out there to try to stir things up, to try to stir up controversy. You are not going to change the mind of an argumentative person by arguing with them. You're just going to cause them to double down. And then that's going to get you all riled up. And how do I know that? Because this happens to me. And I'm like, did you see what so-and-so posted? That is, they said they're a Christian. I saw them at church, right? I don't know the context. And then I become real judgmental. My guess is that probably happens to, you know, at least one of you in this room. All right. So don't meddle in quarrels that are not your own. Don't meddle in what other people are posting online. And if you start to see that, take it off your walls or defriend the person or do whatever you have to do to make sure that that doesn't insert itself into your life and start to occupy your time and energy. The way that I want you to think of it is this. We're called to be salt and light. So when you're making that post or you want to comment on what somebody else is saying, are you being salt or are you being cayenne pepper? Thanks for having me.